Good afternoon. Today is Monday, March the 5th, 64th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Police Chief for the City of Eureka, Merle Harpum. Howdy.
Hi. How are you doing?
Okay. Good. Everything's okay there?
Yes.
Okay. He's just checking in his fan mail.
Show
to make sure that everything is proper and prim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weekend busy?
Not too bad.
Good. Yep. Well, so what do you want to talk about if it's not the weekend?
Well, you can pick the subject, can't you?
Oh, fine.
You usually do.
Well, yeah, I know, but a springboard would be nice. We'll find out then what we'll talk about when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Harpum, but before we do, our quote this afternoon. Boy, I wish I knew this. Sheehy, S-H-E-E-H-Y, Gailey Sheely. Quote, "The secret of a leader lies in the tests he has faced over the whole course of his life and the habit of action he develops in meeting those tests."
Okay.
It's a little long-winded, perhaps, yeah. But the essence is pretty close.
Yes, accurate.
Yeah. Okay. Social networking, huh? You're becoming a texter and Facebook and all that kind of stuff?
Not me.
Okay.
No, but, we certainly see a lot of it. We're involved in a lot of it.
Has the age of blogging and all that kind of stuff, Merle, become more challenging for law enforcement because of the anonymity?
That's part of it. Well, what we're seeing a lot of is, blogs, anonymous blogs that make claims that are just, out in left field. A lot of Facebook stuff, and they're able to gather support from people by using tweets and tweeters and Facebook and whatnot.
Tweeters and woofers, right?
Isn't it? Yeah. That's our era.
Yeah. I know, yeah.
but it is something that that we're confronted with. What it causes, for instance, the some of these so-called Occupy people will get on and send out these messages making claims of what the police department is doing. And then I'll get, I'll get emails from Iowa or New Jersey or whatever saying, stop doing this or stop doing that. And they're basing it on things that they're getting off of blogs and Facebook.
So does that have any weight with you, or do you just hit the delete button a lot more than
normal? Actually, no. I answer them. In fact, I think, I've answered some locally, people that had
well, that would make sense.
Didn't realize what was going on, and they get, like, one story they put out. I mean, there's a lot of different stories they put out, but one story that they've put out several times now, and I've had people email me questioning that, was that because we had deprived people of their survival gear at when we took them to jail or whatever, that one guy died of exposure down behind the mall. Totally false. I mean, he was found down there dead of an overdose of oxycodone. In fact, the coroner said he had probably 4 to 5 times the lethal dose. And he was in a tent, in a sleeping bag, and it was an exceptionally cold night. But they're putting out this all over the world that the police department caused this guy's death because we took his survival gear.
So who started it? Or do you know?
No, we don't. You don't know. They've sent a 2-page thing out making a lot of accusations. And it's unsigned,
even though it's people don't have the courtesy, I guess, is the tamest word to use, to sign it, you still have to treat it as if it was factual?
No. No, it's not that. It's that other people do. Other people.
But what do you care if it's, I mean, if there's a false rumor?
If I know,
if
I know it's untrue, except I do, you know, particularly the local people that will send an email.
But they won't call you. Or the emails are signed.
Yeah, the emails are usually signed, yeah.
Okay.
And so I respond to them. They put out a 2-page letter making a lot of accusations, and the only signature was the email address, which was occupy.com or whatever. So you don't know who wrote it, but they do have an email address that somebody's, receiving email from.
Is it worth chasing down?
No, because it's they're totally false. And what can you do? You know, there's no crime.
Ignore?
Well, yeah, you can ignore, except when you start getting good citizens questioning our tactics because of something they've read.
So why not do a press release?
Well,
I know it's not as personalized, obviously.
Yeah.
But if there's that kind of stuff, or perhaps an overall summary response. You know, there's a 2-page document that's being shot around.
Well, I have done that to the people that question it. The people that respond to me questioning about, you know, these things that are claimed, I do respond to them and tell them how, how our perspective is. For instance, they keep saying that we arrest people for taking pictures of us. There is no such section. You can't arrest somebody for taking a picture of you, not a police officer, at least. And so I don't even know what charge they're coming up with, but they make this claim, and it goes out, you know, on their little social world that we arrest people for taking pictures of us. And, you know, we can't walk. An officer can't walk down there in front of the courthouse without 5 or 6 cameras in their face, and nobody gets arrested for it.
Oh, really?
In fact, I just viewed one today of an officer. We had a Occupy protester up in the tree in the courthouse, and he was like 25, 30
yeah,
feet off the ground.
The bushes there on
yeah,
Fifth Street?
Yeah, the one right on, right over the sidewalk almost. And she'd climbed up there and broke a bunch of branches off and made a little square area up there, clear up in the top of the tree. And she was up there with some flag of some kind, waving it, attracting attention to traffic. And so our officer responded up there, and he had his camera rolling in his vehicle. As he walks up, the people start, "What are you doing here?" Da da da. You know, they start confronting him, and then one guy starts following him around with a camera right in his wherever he's at, constantly, sometimes within a foot or so of his face, with the camera. And the officer goes up and invites the lady to come down out of the tree. Says, "I won't arrest you if you come down." And so she came down. That was the easiest way to handle that because, in order to get her down, she may have fallen. You know, we would have had to get the fire department with a snorkel, and there's wires, you know, electrical wires and stuff around there, and in order to get her down, and we didn't want to go there. So the easiest thing to do was say, "We're not going to arrest you. Just come down." Told her to, this is a county tree, and she says, "Well, that's okay because I'm a county daughter."
Oh, dandy. KINS, News and Information Times 424. We'll be back with more from Merle Harpum.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family.
We live it, we reveal it, the Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money, you won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 427. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Eureka Chief of Police Merle Harpum. Merle, I can remember, it wasn't social networking time, but when some supervisor, or, sorry, council women were on the council for Eureka, that they would go down to Bayshore Mall, set up a table and say, oh, got a complaint?
Yes.
Talk to me, baby.
Yes, right.
Words to that effect.
Yes.
And then you guys got a pound and a half, right?
Right.
It was, I believe it was Arnie who would get a pound and a half or Dave.
Well, I ended up with the...
Give them to somebody.
Yeah, and I was a community response guy, so, right. And
how different is this from that?
Well, those people, somebody knew who they were. But some of the stuff was, I'm drawing a blank on her name right now. She moved to Santa Rosa after she was off the council
Jean.
Here. Jean Warnes. And she meant well, and she, you know, but it opened up Pandora's box because, and she was pretty good about figuring out what was an accurate thing and what was just crap, you know. But some of the stuff, we'd look into, it just caused a lot of work for us that didn't go anywhere.
So is this the same, except a current rendition, or is this different?
No, this is different because it's coming from one of your bosses in the other case. This one is not coming from... bosses, but we treat it the same. I mean, we look into it. If they make a complaint, even though it's anonymous, we'll certainly look into it. But we'll take it only as far as we make the determination that it's not the truth.
Does an anonymous accusation carry any more or any less?
No. It will, even if it's anonymous, we will look into it, but. Where do you go with it if they're unwilling to come forward? I mean, for instance, here we deal with a lot of anonymous complaints. Like somebody will say a house at 721 Mill Street has got drug dealers into it, working there. So we'll investigate that based on that. But all we can do at that point is try and substantiate it by staking out in the house and watching to see what kind of activity is going on. To and from that house. And there have been a lot of cases where we've responded to anonymous complaints, or they'll call and say, I don't want to get involved, I don't want to give my name, but here's what's happening at this particular location. We will look into it. And a lot of times we've made some good cases based on information like that because we'll find that it's true, that activity is going on there, and it'll allow us to get a search warrant and, you know, and go even further.
The anonymous or your initial follow-up to that?
Our follow-up to the anonymous complaint, right.
KINS, News and Information Times, 431. We'll be back with more from Merle Harpum.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lampus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:35. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Eureka Police Chief Merle Harpum. Merle, there was an interesting article in the Times Standard earlier, was it this weekend? I think this weekend, talking about home, the occupier. Okay, we talked about that one last month where they broke in and trashed the place up pretty hard. Okay. About the concept of turning these unoccupied homes into low-cost rental units. And all I could think of, if Merle loves what is today, how much fun would he have trying to evict people after a home sells or renters at a higher rate came in, because you've shared in the past, what, 3, 4, 5 months before you can actually get somebody out of a home if they don't want to leave that structure.
Right, yeah. And you know, we've run into this problem. We're not involved in the actual eviction process. That's a civil process by the sheriff. But we certainly encourage homeowners to, we advise them how to do it and where to go to start it and whatnot. Or even we sometimes recommend going to a property management company to tell them how to do it, because they're experts at it. But sometimes on the foreclosures, I've had about 4 situations where we had homes that were under foreclosure, and you cannot get the banks to respond to do anything about it. And so I'm thinking of one. Well, there was 2 in a row where it took 7 to 8 months to get people out of the house. They were living there rent-free. They were thrashing the place. They had no power or electricity, water. And one of them was a beautiful home, had been, and it was one of these Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, low down payment or no down payment.
Well, the funny, funny ones, yeah.
And the woman couldn't make the payment, so she just moved out and left. But she left 3 sons there. And it became a party house, so she wasn't paying anything to anybody, or the boys wasn't. And the city had to shut the power or the water off, and PG&E cut the power off. And they were living there, partying there, and they had a swimming pool. And they were dipping water out of the swimming pool to flush the toilets.
It was kind of like a cistern then.
Yeah. But it took a little over 7 months before we finally, because one, you'd start dealing with one bank, and they'd sell the mortgage to another bank. And it was kind of crazy. And then I got a local person here, a real estate guy that knows the ins and outs of that. And he got on board, and he tracked everything down, and he got the process started. Of course, you know, he did it because he was making a few dollars on the situation. But we finally got the people out of there and had another one right immediately after that. And the people had moved out, and some relatives had moved in. And so they were living there again, rent-free. Wasn't costing them anything. They had no power, no water. And I drove by one day, because it was a party house. We were finding runaway juveniles there on a regular basis, because it became a flop house for them. And drove by one day, and they've got this beautiful piano sitting out on the porch, and they're beating on it with an axe. And so I stopped, I said, because I had a piano exactly like it from New Brunswick, and mine came around the horn in 1905, and it was my wife's grandfather's, and they were chopping it up. I'm going, oh my God, and you know, and so I went up. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, it's getting cold out, and we have to have firewood." So they're chopping up this beautiful old Brunswick piano to keep the house warm.
As you look at some of the various homes that are in the area, I was talking with a listener earlier this afternoon, just driving through the commercial areas, how many vacancies there are and how disturbing that is compared to what has been historically and also what it ought to be with a healthy community. When you drive neighborhoods with homes in them, do you get that same feeling of anxiety, of unsettledness, of concern?
Well, I certainly have concerns, but you know, but I've seen this before. There was a time, it's been, I forget what year it was, it's been quite a few years ago, where things were pretty bleak around here, and there were so many houses.
Can you hit us with a decade?
I can't. Yes, I know. But it was during a recession time, and a lot of the things were closing down. The mills were closing down and things like that. And the logging, of course, had come to almost a stop. And there were so many homes. I had real estate agents telling me that they were not they were not advertising them because that was detrimental to the community because there was so many out there.
Just almost endemic.
Yeah. And we may be seeing that now. I don't know if it's as bad as it was then.
But now there seems to me that there's a lot of walkaway homes, like you were alluding to
right.
Your two stories, where before maybe somebody hangs in there and it's a local bank and they drag their feet and do this. And okay. But just flat out, nobody home, vacant homes. And we've seen some of them that are the smaller homes, and we've seen some of them that are significantly larger homes.
Right,
that and appear to be in the same general scenario, and you wonder, you know, what can a neighbor do if somebody moves into an adjacent building or an adjacent home that was unoccupied, and you don't think that they really belong? Is that worthy of a phone call?
Oh yes, and that's how we usually get on these. We got one right here in the middle of town that was like that. People. They quit playing on it, and the bank hadn't got around to evicting them. They stayed there, though, and it became, you know, a rat's nest. They let it run down. You know, you used to see this with cars. You know, you'd buy a repossessed car from the bank, and it would be in terrible shape because the people didn't quit making payments on it because it was had turned into a piece of junk, And you know, a lot of it is the fact that, you know, somebody buys a home and pays $300,000 for it, and then all of a sudden, what happened in this country in the last few years, suddenly that home is only worth $200,000. So it's not worth it to stay there and pay these high, the you know, because if they'd have bought it for what it's valued at now, they wouldn't be making as high a payment. So it's a buyer's field right now because you can pick up places pretty reasonable.
So about 25, 30 years ago, you saw this cycle?
Yes.
Previous. Yeah. I'm trying to remember what pulled it out. Well, that's right, Reagan.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, is 4:42. We'll be back with more from Merle Harpham.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 4:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Harpham. Merle, as you look at the upcoming daylight savings time on Sunday morning, is that, other than the personal stuff, is that good professionally for you to have it a little bit darker a little bit later on, a little darker earlier in the morning, or...
You mean
does it have any
lighter?
Lighter or darker, yeah. Depending on what you reference. Does that
right.
change your patterns at all? Will next week be different?
Yes. Well, it's so close. I don't know if it'll be. But as the sun gets higher in the sky and the days get longer, yeah, most crime occurs after dark. You know, and so
it pushes it deeper into the evening hours.
Yeah, right.
So in the middle of winter time, it's.
Right,
we
have more problems during the dark hours than we do.
Is that true in all communities?
I can't speak for all communities, but I.
That's right. You're kind of ingrained here, aren't you?
Yeah, right.
I'm just saying, folks that are closer to the Canadian border.
Yeah.
If they have that situation, it's got to be challenging.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, during the middle of summertime, if it's light until 10:30 or 11 o'clock,
right.
Kind of controls things a little
bit. Yeah, I lived in Seattle, or up a little north of Seattle, when I was in high school, and I remember the days in the summertime were a lot longer than they were after I moved to Eureka. And it was like another hour of daylight up there than it's supposed to here. But by the same token, it was darker quicker.
Yeah, it's always weird for me to see the Seattle Mariners games.
Right.
And it's been half an hour after dusk, dark, and it's just kind of starting to show edgy.
Right.
Are you seeing any trends out there that are disturbing for you as we're looking at the spring season?
Well, our car thefts have been way up recently. That's one of the things that's bothering. In fact, today we got into a pursuit. Actually, the Highway Patrol started it, and it ended up in Eureka, and the Highway Patrol ended up calling it off because it got to the point where it's too dangerous. The guy was doing like 80 miles an hour down Hodgson Street right past Sequoia Park, so the Highway Patrol wisely shut it off. But the car, they found the car a little later. It crashed into a parked car, and the guy ran, and we tried to seal the area off and track the guy down, but we never did locate him. We kind of have an idea who it is. It's a guy that regularly steals cars. But it was
80 on Hodgson?
Huh?
Holy cow.
Yeah, Hodgson and G is where he crashed. But yeah, he was doing, he went airborne for a while off of Hodgson there at P.
That's even without the thrill in the hill,
yeah, right?
Or without the hill and the thrill, one or the other.
Yeah.
80.
Yeah, so that's...
During a school day.
Yeah. Yep.
Does that complicate things? I know we've got the drug zone thing.
Yeah.
Is there a speeding thing around schools also that...
Yes, there is.
Is a multiplier?
Yes, there is. Yeah.
Wow.
All school zones are 25.
Right. So if you're going 80, other than the financial, is that an automatic throw them in jail?
Yeah, if you catch them.
Yeah, I guess that presupposes everything. Yeah. Thanks for coming by, Merle.
Okay.
We've been talking shop with Merle Harper. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.